the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. The parable of the sower, along with the publican and the Pharisee and the prodigal son, is among the most vivid and most memorable of Christ's parables. These parables are stories, illustrations by which our Lord Jesus describes the dynamic struggle of the human soul in its quest for unity with God. Orthodoxy, as did all the early Christian teachers of the Spirit, emphasizes union with God, not simply justification or even salvation, but a union which begins in this life and continues into life everlasting. Being united with God now and united with God later. What does Christ say to us at the judgment seat? What does he say to some of us? Depart from me, I never knew you. We just heard in the gospel, for this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It is clear our Lord wants to know us and to be known by us. In the parable of the sower, Christ said that the seed of the gospel is the word of God. And we heard in our epistle from Hebrews, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ, God become man, brings us the word of God and is himself the word of God. He himself is the message. He is the message of God. He is the good news. He is the face of God. That face which we depict in the holy icons, as we also remember today, the holy fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council, who affirmed the rightness and truth of iconography as a vehicle of the gospel. The seed of the parable, as our Lord said, is the word of God, and it is the very life of Jesus Christ himself given to us to live in us. The seed is Christ himself being planted in us. For ye all are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, we read in Galatians. And in Philippians we read, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, holding forth that word, that seed of the gospel. It's always a choice between Jesus Christ and everything else. It's always a choice between Jesus Christ and everything else. Once we have declared for Christ, whether in infancy or adulthood, then the parable of the sower kicks in. Our souls, our minds and hearts are the soil, the ground, for the seed of the gospel. And most of us, even the most city-fied or city-bound, have had the experience of planting something, of planting a seed, whether even it's just a small pot in the windowsill or maybe only that one time that you did it for a school project way back when. Some of us even know the difference between topsoil and potting soil. But in the parable, the seed is good. It is the soil, the ground of the human heart, that is at question. What does Christ say about this planting of the seed of the gospel? Some fell by the wayside, near the road, and was stepped on and eaten by the birds. Some fell upon the rock, and the plant sprang up, but soon withered, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, among the weeds. and those thorns and weeds choked off the good plant. And some finally fell on good ground, on good soil, and bore great fruit. What we have here, brothers and sisters, is a startling admission by our Lord Himself that the spreading of the gospel as seed will not meet with universal success. Not by a long run. The seed of the good news of Christ is a good seed, but it's hard to find good soil for it. Living in this part of Alabama, this rocky part, we can relate to that. It's the ground, the soil of the human soul. Some will hear the word of God, but will not continue in it for long. Some will accept the gospel of Christ, but in time of testing, fall away. Some will believe, but be captivated by something in this life, even by another human being who does not believe, and will turn away. The seed of the gospel, brothers and sisters, can be taken away even by the evil one, the birds. Reading this parable, it's plain that there's no place for once saved, always saved. Not by this gospel, which speaks of the spreading of the gospel. There are some who mistakenly treat the faith like it's another subject to be learned, to be mastered. And once they think they have it figured out, they get bored with it. And they move on, seeking other subjects, other stimuli. This is faith which never descends from the rocky soil of the mind down into the good, fertile soil of the heart, where there is deeper, unceasing prayer and mystical union with Christ. Faith that only remains in the head. The deepest challenge of our generation is not to be the thorny ground full of weeds, choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life. You want to be saved, then our faith has to be a resistance movement to endeavor each day to resist, even in some small way, the cares and pleasures of life which take Christ from our heart. One father said, a soul which has not been separated from worldly cares will neither love God genuinely, nor will it loathe the devil, as it should. For it is covered by a tiresome veil, the cares of life. Certainly, it's easier said than done. But at least we have to understand the terms of engagement. In the parable of the sower, Christ is wanting to help us by identifying the pitfalls, the dangers to the seed of our faith, the vulnerability of that seed. But brothers and sisters, never doubt that our Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be that good soil. Wants you to be that good soil of an honest and good heart who keep the seed of the word, who nurture it and bring forth fruit with patience. And if we think we can't keep the gospel free from cares and pleasures, let us confess our weakness, like St. Paul in this morning's epistle from 2 Corinthians. When he despaired of lacking strength, he said, the Lord spoke to him, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And finally, St. Leontio of Optina, the first great father of Optina, the fathers whom we remembered this past week on October 10th, like St. Paul, he encourages us in our weakness. And that just being humble in the face of our failures is an avenue to grace. He says, just because you see yourself making no spiritual progress does not mean that you're not making any progress at all. Such feelings can plant sincere humility in your heart. And when you have the genuine awareness that you are deprived of spiritual fruit in your life, then make an unfailing effort to force your striving for God. Push yourself towards God. When we find that we lack the virtues and therefore have no high opinion of ourselves, then this by itself can attract God's favorable gaze, which will strengthen us with hope against the deadly spirit of despair. When we have had no success in the virtues, there is no closer means for salvation than humbleness of mind. In other words, when you see yourself as a spiritual failure, and don't blame anyone else or anything else, even the church, sometimes we blame the church, it's too hard. But if we humble ourselves and have humbleness of mind in the face of our spiritual weakness, grace can be drawn to us. The Father concludes, haughtiness, pride, even when joined by the virtues, is offensive to God. In other words, if we're a good guy and we're doing well in life and we're proud of it, God is displeased with that. He's offended by that. He says, but a meek thought will not be forgotten before God. Meek thoughts about ourselves, without having presumption of our virtues, but wanting to be that good soil, even though we need much help, much fertilization. So brothers and sisters, may the parable of the sower be planted within us, and may indeed the Lord help us to bear good fruit with patience in his good time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.